Sheila set me up, and now I might let you down. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. This is probably going to be one of the most unorthodox messages that you have ever heard, but there's nothing about me orthodox, so just hold on and we'll get to where we're going. It is good to be back at Southside. I bring you greetings from the hottest place in Georgia, where all the gnats are made. Sylvester, Georgia, it's an honor for them to allow me to be out of the pulpit. In fact, I won't be in the pulpit but one Sunday in the whole month of June. So I've got the opportunity to speak at a couple different places, and it's always a blessing. I've got nine guys that are chomping at the bit to preach any time, so all I got to do is tag them in. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to just get away and come back to, as Sheila mentioned, your roots. And we're going to get to that in a minute. I want to read a passage of Scripture to set up where we're going this morning, and then we're going to talk for a few minutes and we'll come back to the Scripture. So read with me, if you will, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Pray with me this morning. Father, what a privilege it is to be back in this place that you founded so long ago, this place that has touched many of us through our lives. But Father, it's not about this place. It's about the gospel that was presented through this place. And Father, I just thank you for the time that you've given us together. Father, I pray that you would move me out of the way, that you would just use me as a vessel. Father, I'm unworthy to be standing here, but through Christ you have made me worthy. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Father, use this time to uplift your church. Use this time to encourage each of us, and use this time to put a charge back in us, so that we'll carry your gospel everywhere we go. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you underline in your Bible, if you write in your Bible, I want you to underline one phrase, because we're going to kind of center on that phrase. And that phrase is simply this. It's found in verse 37. It simply says, "cut to the heart." Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. What does it mean to be cut to the heart? What does it mean for that deep down touch of the heart? And over the last several years, I've had a lot of opportunities to have those cut to the heart moments. I remember back, it's probably been 8 years ago, when I was working in a mission project in Macon, and we had the students in and we were working on homes, and it was the last day and I was going around, I was inspecting the homes, making sure that we had accomplished all that we were to accomplish. And I went to the home of Mr. George Johnson. I'll never forget the man's name. I'll never forget his face. He's in heaven now, and he is shouting for glory. But the thing about Mr. George that just impressed me so much is it was his birthday on the last day of that mission project. He was turning 87 years old, and his caregiver was his 68-year-old daughter. All right, so we were working on this house that needed a new roof. It was leaking like a sieve. And so I walk up on the porch, and they had bought a cake, and they had bought some balloons, and they were celebrating Mr. George, and they were all getting their hugs, and tears were rolling down his face. And I asked him, I said, "Mr. George," I said, "did these kids bless you today and this week?" And he said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "I never knew anybody cared this much." Man, that touched me deep down inside. When he said that, I never really thought about it that way, but he never thought that anybody cared that much. Whenever you have that favorite movie, whenever you have that favorite TV show, whenever you have that favorite book that you read, there are parts in every great story that touch you deep down inside. And all of us have had those moments. There's a song that touches me deep down inside every time I hear the song. And it's a song by Casting Crowns. And the title of the song, you may know the title of the song, is "This Is Now." And it's Peter's story, and it's telling from the perspective of what happened after Peter had denied Christ. And he's thinking back, and he's thinking over the times that happened in his ministry. He said, but that was then, you know, when he was standing at the water's edge and Jesus called him, he said, that was then. And when he saw Jesus do all these miracles, that was then. And when he washed their feet, that was then. And he's thinking, but this is now. I've gone too far. I've done too many things. But then Jesus responds. I want to read you Jesus' response to Peter in this song. And it just blows me away and it touches me deep down inside. When Peter says, I wish I could go back, but I don't know how. I remember when I stood my ground. I swore I'd never let you down. I want to be that man again, but that was then and this is now. Listen to Jesus' response. Just when I thought my sin had closed the door, I see my Savior standing on the shore with arms wide open, just like the first time you called my name. You said, that was then and this is now. My child, I bore your cross. I wore your crown. When you couldn't come to me, my love came down. So take my hand. I'll lead you out because that was then and this is now. Folks, if you remember that time that Jesus touched you, when Jesus called you to salvation, that should touch you deep down inside. Every time you think back over that, and I think of the times that I had let God down, the times that I had walked away, the times that I was just not what I should have been, that was then, but this is now. And that touches me deep down inside. I want us to reminisce for just a minute. Is that okay? It's homecoming. We're supposed to. Are y'all awake this morning? All right, because I'm excited, but y'all don't act like it. So that's okay. I'll be excited for all of us. I want us to reminisce because over the past few weeks, I have been doing a lot of nostalgic reminiscing. You know, Amy got married and that causes you to go back and think, man, it seemed like it was just yesterday I was holding her in my arms. You know, and y'all have been there, those that you who have kids that have gotten married. But then I got to thinking about Southside when Mr. Calvin called and he said, would you come and speak? I said, you know, it'd be an honor to. And so I got to thinking back and thinking over Southside, things that touched me deep down inside. This was the first place that Cindy and I went on a date. You probably didn't know that. I asked her out, and she said no. But she said, you can come to church with me. And that touched me deep down inside. You know, this was the place where we got married. And those doors are new, but I remember the old doors. You remember those that squeaked? When they opened up and I saw her standing there in that vision in white, man, that touched me deep down inside. And you know, every morning that I wake up and I see her face, it still touches me deep down inside. And some of you will probably say this. You'll probably say, you're saying that because she's not here. Well, call her and tell her I said it, okay? Help me out. That was 32 years ago. Wow. Y'all are getting old. I'm just going to say that. Other things that touched me. This is the place where I met my first friends when I moved from Michigan. All right, I was a funny talking guy from Michigan. All right, and I moved down here, and Southside was the place I met my friends. Still have some of these people in my life today. We still stay in touch. Craig drove 3 hours just to see me today. He didn't come to see any of y'all. He just came to see me. But, you know, that touches me deep down inside. I think of other things that touch me deep down inside. When Amy was born, all right, and, you know, I had just been ordained a deacon, and, you know, we didn't know nothing about birth and no babies, and then we had one with problems, you know. And I remember how Southside came to us and how Southside surrounded us with love, and that touched me deep down inside. I've never forgotten that moment. Other things are, I was called into the ministry from Southside Baptist Church. I was licensed to preach at Southside Baptist Church. I served in my first position in ministry at Southside Baptist Church. I got to witness God working in different lives throughout the ministry here at Southside Baptist Church. Who remembers Yak? All right, some of you do. Yeah, I see some of your hands going up. Do you realize that Yak, there were over 1,000 students that came through those 5 years of Yak? And there's some that are in ministry today because of that. That touches me deep down inside. I think of all these things that just keep rolling in. But I want to share with you some moments from my life that should touch you deep down inside because you are Southside Baptist Church. Think about this. Think about this. This is where God launched me in another direction. All right? I would have been satisfied living in that little house, two doors up, for the rest of our life. That's not what God had planned. And God launched me in a different direction. From here, God's taking me on a journey. God used Southside Baptist Church to prepare me for where I am today. Now, I'm trying to figure out how that fits in with sending me to the hottest place in Georgia, but I haven't quite got there yet. But God used Southside, and because of the investment of Southside Baptist Church into my life and the encouragement and the development that happened here, think about this. I've got to serve, to minister, and to work with more than 2,000 students over the past 15 years. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That's amazing that God allowed me to do that. And it's because of Southside's investment in me that I had that opportunity. We had 5 years of a student mission program in Macon called Splash. And over those 5 years, 1,500 students and over 100 homes were repaired through that. But that's not the best part. The best part of that is we've got four that are pastoring, we've got three that are youth pastors, and there were at least 25 we saw come to Christ during those mission projects. That should touch you deep down inside because of Southside's investment. That's what happened with God using me. Think about this. I've had the opportunity to go to unreached people groups to see the gospel presented for the first time in somebody's life. In Brazil, going to a village where they had never heard the name Jesus and watching the gospel explode into that village. That's because of your investment into me, and that should touch you deep down inside. I've had the opportunity to go on over 15 mission trips and counting. I've been to Brazil, I've been to Peru, I've been to Honduras, I've been teaching, I've been preaching, I've been working with pastors, I've been working with missionaries, and that should touch you deep down inside because of Southside's investment in me. I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, I'm talking about what God used Southside for to prepare me for what I've got to do for Him. It's absolutely nothing to do with me. It's all with what God's using through me. These things go to Southside's credit because of your faithfulness and your investment in an unworthy vessel. Folks, that should touch you deep down inside. I want you to think about this. We can talk about more of what God has done over lunch. And I know some of you are hungry and ready to eat now. So we'll get down to business. God has given all of us some of those deep down touch moments in our life. And if I ask you, and if I went around the room and I ask you to reminisce about Southside, what are some of those moments that you could say that touched me deep down inside? I'm sure all of you could remember some. Some of you are thinking of some right now. I remember sitting in the same spot year after year after year. I remember singing in the choir, sitting in the same spot year after year after year. And that touches me deep down inside. I got to watch kids grow up. Some of you born. Like I said, some of you are getting old. I remember the days on the ball field. And some people think, well, that was just recreation. Let me tell you something. That ball field, we watched many people who are in church now start coming to church because of that ball field. God used these moments to touch us deep down inside. But I want us to get back to where we started. Dr. Luke was writing about this happening here. And Dr. Luke tells us in verse 37, I want to give you a deep down touch moment here. Something that touches you deep down inside. And he uses the word cut to the heart. And we know what's happening here. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has ascended back to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he gives the marching orders to the disciples. He said, you will be my witnesses. You're going to receive the power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the world. And so he's setting this up. And we see Peter preaching his first sermon. All right, this is the first sermon that Peter's had the opportunity to preach. Some of you were here the first time I ever preached, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had to listen to that. I'm sorry that you have to listen to it today. But the thing about it is Peter was preaching for the first time, and you can see in verse 41 the results of Peter's preaching the first time. 3,000 souls were saved. Folks, let me tell you. If the first time I preached, one soul got saved, that would fire me up. I think it was probably a long time into preaching before I saw somebody walk the aisle and get saved. But then I realized it has nothing to do with me. It's about who I'm preaching about. He's the one that does the saving. But just think about this for just a moment as Luke unfolds this. Read it again with me and we'll talk about some things here and we'll bring this home. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Think about what's happening here. Now let's set this up. Peter's preaching. All right, he has not given the invitation. All right, he has not concluded his third point and gave the three subpoints under that point. He is right in the middle of the sermon, and these people stand up and say, "Hold on a minute. What do we have to do to get saved?" Brother Ken, what would happen if you were right in the middle of your sermon and somebody stood up and said, "I need to know how to get saved"? Would you stop? Absolutely. Peter didn't say, "Hold on, I'll finish the sermon in a minute. They'll play the piano, the organ will go, and you can walk down the aisle and you can kneel at the altar and somebody will pray with you." He said, "No, let's stop right here." So in this passage of Scripture, there are some things I want you to bring out. I'm going to tell you what they are, and then we're going to talk about them. One is, I want to give you a biblical fact. There's a biblical fact we're going to talk about. The second thing is, there's the response that will happen. And then I want to talk about an observation, and then we're going to close with a simple question. So let's get down to it. Let's look at this. The biblical fact is this: the gospel will touch you deep down inside. I remember the first time that I heard the gospel preached. I'm not talking about the first time I heard a message, but the first time I heard the gospel for what it is, that Jesus Christ himself stepped out of glory. He obeyed the will of the Father. He came to earth. He set aside everything in heaven, and he came down here to live and die for me. And somebody explained that gospel to me, and let me tell you, that touched me deep down inside. And if the gospel has been presented to you, when it's proclaimed, when it's heard, the response may be different for some, but it's going to touch you deep down inside. I want you to roll back for just a moment. I want you to think back the time that you surrendered your heart to Christ, the time that you responded to the gospel message. Did it touch you deep down inside? If you can't say amen, then you say oh me, and we'll talk after the message. But if it didn't touch you deep down inside, then I'm not sure you got it. Because when the gospel's proclaimed, it's going to touch you. This was Peter's first sermon. Think about this. When they heard this, did you catch that? When they heard this, when Peter was preaching the gospel, "Let's stop it right here, Peter. I need to know more about what you're talking about. I need to, listen, I don't want this to happen." I think back about the sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached, "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." Jonathan Edwards was one of the poorest pulpiteers ever to stand behind a pulpit. They said if you listened to him, he would put you to sleep. But when he proclaimed that message, God used it in such a way people were holding on to the pews because they were scared the floor would open and hell would suck them in. That's how powerful the gospel is. That's how powerful the gospel is when it's proclaimed, when it's preached. This is one of the, think about this. Why does the gospel have this effect on someone? Why does this gospel have the effect on somebody like that, where it touches you deep down inside? Here's why. Go back to verse 23. Look at verse 23 of chapter 2. It says, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan by the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hand of lawless men." Peter just laid it out there. Do you remember Jesus? Do you remember what you did to Jesus? Do you remember the beating that you put him through? Do you remember what you did to him, mocking him and spitting on him, nailing him to a cross, sticking him with a spear? Do you remember what he did? He said, "Hold on a minute. This was because God wanted that to happen. You didn't do it on your own." The reason the gospel touches people deep down inside is because it's one of the saddest stories ever told. You think about that. What Jesus endured for you and for me, that'll bring tears to your eyes. When I think about the cross that he bore for you, the cross that he bore for me, that touches me deep down inside. Every time I think about it, every time I hear that story, and it's one of the saddest stories ever told. But look at verse 24. In verse 24 it says, "God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Did you catch that? Death couldn't hold him. Somebody better say amen or I'm going to jump out of my shoes. Not only is it the saddest story ever told, it's the greatest story that's ever been told. They put Jesus to death. They thought they had won that victory, but death couldn't hold him. The grave was borrowed because he wasn't planning on staying there. And so when we see this happen, it was the saddest story ever told. It was the greatest story ever told. But look at verse 14. This is a story that grabs you as an individual. Look, go back up to verse 14, where he says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea.'" He didn't say, "All right, I'm preaching to the crowd. I'm preaching to each and every one of you." This is why the gospel touches us deep down inside, because it was the saddest. It was one of the saddest stories ever told. It was the greatest story ever told, and it's a story that grabs each of us as individuals. There are different things that excite you. There are different things that excite me. There are different things that touch you and that cut you to the heart than do me. But I got news for you. If you've ever responded to the gospel, if you've ever heard the gospel, it's going to touch you deep down inside. So we see what happens with this biblical fact that the gospel will touch you deep down inside. The story of Jesus will touch you deep down inside. Let's look at the second thing, the response that happens when you're touched deep down inside. They were ready for the invitation. "Peter, what will we do with this? What am I going to do with this information you're giving me here? What, you know, Peter, I don't know what to do here." Peter just backed up. I try to put myself in the story. And I could just see what would happen. I've got one old fella in our church, and I call him old because he is. He will speak out and just carry on a conversation right in the middle of a sermon. Now, thank God he brought me up through youth ministry, because nothing throws me off my game. If you've ever dealt with youth, amen, Tim? If you ever dealt with youth, phones ringing, babies crying, it doesn't matter, people walking around, it doesn't faze you. But he'll carry on a conversation in the middle of a sermon. I couldn't imagine what would happen if he ever stood up and waved his arms and said, "Stop right there a minute, preacher, I need you to explain what you just said." That would probably throw me off my game. But it didn't faze Peter. This was the response when he was laying this out there. He said, "Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Let me just simplify this the best way I can." He says, "Listen to this story. Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized. Jesus died for you. Jesus died so that you can have life everlasting.'" There's a question that I want to throw into this point. The response that happens when the gospel, why does that not happen today? You ever think about that? Why does that not happen today? Brother Ken, Tim, I know y'all have preached for years. Should we not be backing up and doing a progress report on what we're preaching if we don't see actions like this? If the gospel proclaimed, it's gonna respond. There's going to be a response. Wasn't time for the invitation here, but the instructions were given. Look at verse 38. He says, "Listen, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." All right, I'm not ready to close this message yet. However, because of this, let's just go ahead and let's get this done right now. Let's stop right now. Repent, be baptized, that public identification with Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift, as evidence of our salvation, that's going to touch you deep down inside. Some of you might not have tears. I remember, I didn't have tears, but I remember the change that happened in my life. And that touched me deep down inside. So we see this unfolding before us. We see the biblical fact. We see the response. Now here's the observation. The observation is this. Southside Baptist Church, First Baptist Church, every Baptist church, every other church in Blakely County, in Sylvester, and around Georgia, and around the United States, and around the world, this is the observation that I have. The church desperately needs a deep down touch of the gospel again. The church has walked away from that deep down touch feeling of the gospel. We don't remember our salvation experience to the point that it causes us to move into action. We call ourselves remembering this and having this in our life for a ticket to heaven, but it doesn't push us into action. When we're touched by the gospel, it's going to cause us to go into the action. We're going to reach our community. We're going to preach to the lost. We're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Has the gospel touched you deep down inside enough to push you into action? Praying for the lost by name. That's a process that we're going through at Unity Baptist. It's a process that we went through when I was pastoring in Greston. And let me tell you, when you pray for the lost by name, you'll see the gospel respond in somebody's life. Let me tell you something. It blew my mind. Blew my mind. When we got 300 names down in Greston, and we put them on cards, and every Sunday night before we would leave the sanctuary, we would come up to the altar and we would pray over these cards. Just everybody grab a stack of cards. We prayed by name. This was the prayer. We prayed Romans 10:1 for them. Father, it's my earnest plea and prayer to you that they be saved. That's what Paul said. He said, I just want them to be saved. And then we would put their name in there. Father, it's my prayer and my desire that so-and-so be saved. Because you promised that if they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and they believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll save them. Father, we claim that in Jesus' name. Use me this week to share the gospel with, and insert the name. The first 20 weeks, we saw somebody out of those cars get saved. Every week, we saw somebody get saved. Why? Because we were doing what the gospel calls us to do. We were responding to that deep down touch inside. At Unity, we're kicking that off now. Our folks have said, preacher, this is crazy. Yeah, it is. It's crazy for the gospel is what it is. And we're going to see God do the same thing here. We see that we need to have that response to the gospel that causes us to fall on our face and pray agonizingly for people. I'm sure that Peter in this message was reflecting back to a moment when he was walking with a master teacher. Can you just picture this? Peter, three and a half years with Christ, and Jesus just pouring into the disciples. And Peter soaking it up. Then Peter goes through his little spell there at the end and he denies him, but then Jesus extends his hand and says, Peter, I still love you. I still love you. Peter's probably reflecting back to what we see recorded in John chapter 12, verse 32, when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Just lift me up. Just preach Jesus. Just lift Jesus up. The observation that I have today is that we have too many churches that are preaching feel-good, fluff messages and not preaching Jesus and lifting him up. And that's the demise of the church, folks. I'm telling you. It's the demise of the church, universal, that people are not hearing about Jesus. They're not hearing the gospel. The gospel is for all who God calls to himself. He knows, we don't. Let's tell everybody. It's the Army Ranger approach to sharing the gospel, Craig. We've talked about this before. The Army Ranger motto is kill them all, let God sort them out. Our motto as being in the Army of Christ is tell them all, let God sort it out. Let's just tell them all. Make sure everybody hears the gospel. And when that happens, we'll see a response. Keep proclaiming the gospel no matter the cost. Now, I say that for this reason. I was in Brazil back earlier this year. They flew us on this little plane that would hold six people. And they flew us 2.5 hours into the Amazon jungle. We landed on a dirt airstrip in the middle of nowhere on a river. They let us off the plane. The plane took off and said, we'll be back in 5 days. Two people that were with us spoke Portuguese. None of us spoke the YY language, which was the tribe that we were in. But for 5 days, we poured into that tribe. For 5 days, we worked with the pastors in that tribe. We worked with the elders in that tribe. And we were just, they just said, tell us all you can about the Bible. And I'm like, man, where do you want us to start? And he said, I don't care where you start, just start. And I would say something in English that would be translated to Portuguese, that would be translated to YY, that would come back from YY to Portuguese to English. So anything that was a 30-minute conversation took an hour and a half. But let me tell you, they had a deep down desire for the gospel. One of the guys that was sitting there, he said, I need to know all I can. Because when I go to this tribe, and there were missionaries to the other tribes upriver, when I go to this tribe, I may not come back. He said, they may take my life because they still don't know Jesus. And he said, I need to know all I can so that if we get to a place, I can just start rattling it off. I can just start speaking it out. They had that same response here in Acts chapter 4. No matter what the cost, you preach Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 4, the first few verses there. It says, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. All right, the religious people were greatly annoyed. There's still some deacons in churches that are greatly annoyed if the preacher preaches the gospel. And they arrested them and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. All right, so in just a couple of chapters, we see 8,000 people come to Christ because of the gospel. And Peter said, I don't care if you lock me up. You can lock me up. You can kill me. You can do whatever you want to me. I'm not going to stop proclaiming the gospel. Keep proclaiming the gospel no matter what. So we've seen what happens here. We see the biblical fact that the gospel will touch you deep down inside. We've seen the response that will happen when the gospel touches you deep down inside. We've made an observation. Now here's the question, and I'll close with this. When you think about the gospel, can Southside Baptist Church still have a deep down touch because of the gospel? Can the church universal still have a deep down touch inside because of the gospel? How would you respond to that? That's rhetorical. That's for you to think about. The only way that we'll be active for Christ in our community is when we remember that touch that happened to us. That touch that happened deep down inside of us when the gospel was presented and Jesus saved us. If the church does not have that deep down touch anymore, you might as well lock the doors. You might as well just stay home. Because we're not doing what God put us here to do. I had this same conversation with Unity Baptist Church. I don't know about Cochran. I do, but I'm going to pretend like I don't. But there's some racial divides in Sylvester. Do you know that God is colorblind? He only sees two colors. The black of sin and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I got to Unity, they told me, they said, you know, the question that I ask each church that God has allowed me to work in, I says, if you're going around a neighborhood and you're knocking on doors, somebody answers the door, who are you going to invite to church? And that kind of sets them off. Because if you're in a community, especially in Sylvester, there are integrated communities in Sylvester. And you might knock on three white doors, and then you get to two or three black doors, and then you get back to a white door. And the reason I ask that is because if you knock on the door and say, hey, I'm from Unity Baptist Church, you better invite whoever answers the door. And will you accept that? Will you accept that? I had this same conversation with Unity Baptist Church because we were struggling with that. We had some people in the church that were struggling with it. And when we understood that the gospel is for everybody in our community, then we better share the gospel with everybody in our community. And in 2 months, we'll be launching our second African-American church plant in Sylvester. We've already planted one in Albany. We're planting one in Sylvester. Why? Because our people understand that that deep down touch of the gospel pushes you to action no matter where you are. And you reach the community where you are. Three questions and I close. Do you remember when the gospel touched you? Now some of you are thinking, man, I'm old. My memory is not what it used to be. I'm talking about me, not y'all. But do you remember what happened when the gospel touched you? Do you want to have that feeling again? That's the question. Do you want to have that excitement again to not lose your first love? I pray that Jesus never writes me a letter and say, I have this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. I want to stay in love with Him. I want to keep that deep down touch excitement. And here's the final question. Do you want to see Southside feel that deep down touch of the gospel again. Let me pray with you, and I'll turn the service over to your pastor. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. And Father, I thank you for that deep down touch that the gospel brought to me so many years ago. Father, it's my prayer that as we remember Southside from the past 60 years, it's all well and good for us to be nostalgic. It's all well and good for us to remember. But Father, may we never forget the only reason Southside is here is because of what Christ did on the cross. And may we never forget that deep down touch of the gospel that happened in our life. Father, thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that saved us when we were not worthy of salvation. You made us worthy in Christ. And for that, we're eternally grateful. Father, I pray that each of us would examine our heart, examine our life, to see where we stand when it comes to the excitement that the gospel brings into our heart. We love you. We thank you for this time together. Move as you will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.